We're back for season two.
Yes, it's bigger. It's badder. It's...
Oh, just get on with it.
Bad scripts.
Hello and welcome back to Bad Scripts. Steve Jones here, as always, bringing you another episode of The Last Resort. And joining me as he does every single time, my partner in crime, my best friend in the world, is Mr. Mike Ollier. Hi, Mike.
It always feels like a bit of a surprise when you say that, like joining me always. I mean, we're always together. Can you imagine if it was someone else? Who would you so if you could partner with anyone other than me on this, who would it be? Anyone in the entire world? Anyone at all?
What about Grace Jones? Because it could be Jones and Jones, and she's mental, so she'd be a crazy person to have presenting it, wouldn't she? She's like off the charts, like woo away. I mean, with fairies. So
for any Jones you could have gone for there, I'm a bit that does feel a bit random.
Yeah, well, you did ask anyone in the world, so there we go. What about you? If you could replace me, Mike, and I know you often think about doing so, who would you put in my place?
Oh, for sure, it'd be Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman is he's a multi-hyphenate talent, and what I mean by that, he can sing, he can dance, he can act, the guy is just a natural all-rounder.
It sounds like he could crawl in and spoon you. It does sound like if he came in over at night and said, Mike, I need a little bit of a cuddle, that you'd be there with open arms.
If the Jackman wanted a spoon, I would not say no. I would not say no. I wouldn't spoon with anyone other than you, Steve, as you know.
I know.
But if he turned up on my doorstep and it was freezing cold and he was wet through from the rain and his hair was all kind of like in that sexy way, and he was like, I'm really cold, can I come in? I would let him in and I would strip him down and hug him until he gets warm again. I would use my body heat to heat him up and know that it would be worth it. And I would enjoy every second of it.
Wow, there was a lot of detail in there. I was just expecting a couple of, there was a lot of detail in there. Someone's thought about that before now. Anyway. So back to the script, back to Last Resort, a saga that has continued on for this season, well over a year. You know, we've been quite adventurous with season two. And we're now coming to the end, the culmination of all of our efforts and to the end of the road for The Last Resort, an end to the
story. For the season, yeah. And just we have finished writing. The writing is done. It's all done and dusted and finished. The scenes are all in place. The story arcs are all happening. And that was it's been a bit of a writing slog, hasn't it, Steve, this year? Just kind of because, you know, trying to go through every single character's storyline, trying to, you know, put some full stops over it and to give everyone, you know, their place in the sun that they deserve. How have you found the writing process so far?
Well, it's like you say, I think we were ambitious this season. So this is the first time we've written anything together in nearly 20 years. So it's been one of those situations where we've had to find our groove. And we were, like you say, we increased the size of the cast. You know, all the list of characters is very diverse. We've tried to link and interlink all of the storylines and make it work and make it true to the characters. It's been hard, but ultimately really enjoyable. And the biggest enjoyment I've gotten, I don't know how you feel about this, Mike, but is the audience with this. We've been writing as we go along, and the feedback that we've got is such a motivation to go out there and write new scenes for these characters, because people treat them as if they're real people.
And you can't get a bigger compliment than that. So thank you, listeners, for your support and sticking with us over the last 2 years when we first started this, as we kind of draw down this season and then decide what season three would bring, for instance, with a little bit of a break in between. But
that's the question, is it, will there be a season three? Will we do more with these characters, or do we do something new? You know, maybe we can look at something else, but we'll have to see. And we can put a poll out there and see what everybody thinks. But
we need a recap first, don't we? Because it's been a good month since we had our special, when we visited and discussed going back to the resort that we started off. So this is the first story episode we've released in a little while. So do we need to do a bit of a recap, Steve? Do we need to just kind of cover off where we're at in the story?
Well, I guess we do. So, you know, we've... So Adam was given a role in the in Judy's new show and asked to partner with Tatiana, the handsome young girl from Slovakia, who you know, with his reputation, there were eyebrows were raised, and to the right effect, because one of the most recent scenes we saw was him climbing out of her caravan window in the early hours of the morning and
doing what Adam does.
Absolutely what Adam does. It's what has become his signature, being a bit of a low life womanizer, really, over the last few months.
But he lock up your daughters.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't get away with it, though. Didn't get away with it this time, because he got spotted, didn't he? Margaret saw him doing the walk of shame. And Margaret can't keep it to herself. So she told Karen. And who else did she tell? She told Karen.
And Daisy
in over a cup of tea. But who was listening in? Who was eavesdropping from the corner? Oh, it's the woman that we all love to hate, Kelly, was listening in. And she then unceremoniously let Sergei know that maybe you want to be careful with your daughter around him, because, things might not be what they seem.
And as we know, Kelly is, she's spotted to her, isn't it? She just loves to you know, get to hear what's going on and just cause some destruction and damage to that. So we've got Adam in that position. We have Kelly, who's blackmailing Mushy to continue that really strange relationship. And she's obviously playing games with Wayne. And then we've also got a little bit of trouble on the horizon there with Donna and Dan, and Donna thinking now about the future and what she wants to do, and Dan not sure where he's, you know, what he wants to do himself. So, yeah, there's quite a few things happening.
Well, then without further ado, maybe we should jump back in and see what's happening down on Camp Holidays.
Just need to remember the accents.
Oof. Exterior, caravan site, night. It's pitch black. The only light spills from the few caravans whose residents are still awake, the incandescent bulbs creating a halo-like image around each structure. We follow Adam as he manoeuvres himself around the many caravans, ducking and weaving so as not to be seen. He reaches Tatiana's abode and slowly, silently, and carefully walks the small steps leading to the door. He stops for a moment, looks around, and mounts the first step. Carefully, he very lightly taps on the door and waits. We hear footsteps walking down the caravan. Adam takes a stride back from the steps and looks up at the door. It opens, and there stands Tatiana, as radiant as ever. Adam smiles and swiftly moves forward, climbing the stairs and entering the caravan. Tatiana steps aside to let him in, closing the door behind her. Adam immediately puts his hands around her waist and leans in for a kiss. Tatiana leans backwards, avoiding his advance.
What's wrong?
Tatiana looks down the length of the caravan, and Adam's gaze follows. Sat at the table, staring intently at Adam, and hidden in shadow, is Sergei. He is wearing an old white vest and tracksuit bottoms. Adam immediately lets go of her and tries his best to look innocent. Sergei puts his cigarette to his lip and lights a match, his unflinching eyes motionless as the flames dance around his sharp features. Sergei blows out the match and immediately thrown back into shadow.
I should be going, I think. Stood.
Sergei points to the seat opposite him. Adam stands motionless. Tatiana gives him an apologetic look and leaves, closing the bedroom door behind her. Sergei still doesn't move. He draws a long drag on his cigarette, billowing smoke, the only sign of movement.
It's late, Mr. Sergei. I was just going to speak to Tatiana about some moves we were practicing.
I
said, sit.
Adam breathes deeply. He slowly walks towards Sergei, and upon reaching him, sits down at the table facing him. Sergei continues smoking, eyes remaining fixed on Adam. Eventually, he finishes and stubs out the cigarette, then takes a shot of clear liquid and pours himself another. From his pocket, he draws a small butterfly knife. The dim light dances across the shining blade as Sergei flicks it open and closed. He sighs, blowing the rancid smell of cigarette smoke and alcohol into Adam's face. Adam swallows heavily, making a comically loud, audible gulp.
You know Vladimir. He was here 1 year ago. Yes? I did, yes. You like Vladimir? Yes. Yes, I did. I know like Vladimir. Vladimir was, how you say it? Simple. He was a simple man. No problem, no problem, no problem.
Sergei laughs at his own joke. Adam nervously chuckles along.
You must think we two are simple. What? No, I don't think that. You think we are stupid. You think Sergei is simple, like Vladimir. Sergei, where I am from, tradition is important. You understand this word? Tradition?
Adam nods his head. Sergei leans in, getting closer to Adam, a menacing look on his face.
But you care for nothing but honor. You have no respect. I see. I watch. I don't know what you're talking about, Sergei. I'm sorry if I've caused offense.
A sudden outburst, which makes Adam jump.
Offense? You disrespect me. You disrespect me again. You lie. My daughter tells me all. I know all.
Adam is now visibly shaking, a terrified look on his face. He can barely talk.
In my country, we have ways of dealing with this kind of situation. When traditions are broken, we do seek to break.
Sergei slams the knife down into the tabletop, making Adam jump.
Honor is who we are. You know what this means?
What are you going to do?
What do you think I do?
Are you going to hurt me?
Sergei smiles, a sharkish, toothy smile as he bares his teeth to Adam.
Give me hand.
Adam looks down as Sergei stretches out his hand, awaiting to receive Adam's. Adam is shaking and trying to hold back the tears.
Hand!
Adam puts his hand into Sergei's, who immediately grabs it and pulls him forward. Adam yelps in surprise and fear as Sergei's face is almost touching his. Adam looks down at the knife as Sergei's free hand holds the handle.
You now marry my daughter. What? You will be husband to Tatiana. My tradition. You will show honor.
Adam looks gobsmacked, unable to speak.
Or I beat you to pulp right now. In my country, I would stick you like the pig you are. I leave choice to you.
Tears begin streaming down Adam's face. Sergei smiles once again and laughs. He lets Adam go, who immediately falls back and then stands up.
Little boy who cries like baby. You're no man.
Adam doesn't know what to do but stand there, shaking and crying. Sergei lights up another cigarette. He pulls a knife from the table and with a flick of his wrist closes the blade and places the hilt in his pocket.
You not good enough for daughter. You are not good enough for my family. Your father should be ashamed of crying baby for son. You can leave now. You stay far away from Tatiana.
I will. I promise.
And if you don't, I will not be so nice next time.
Adam turns and hurries out of the caravan, passing a worried-looking Tatiana, who lurks in the bedroom doorway. The only sound is that of Sergei's menacing laugh.
Mwah, ha, 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 ha.
It wasn't the count. It's the count from Sesame Street for a minute.
I think I was going that way, actually. Da.
Wow, what an intense scene to return with. Don't you think that was quite dark?
I think he wants to protect his daughter and make an example of Adam. Adam had it coming. I mean, I've got no sympathy for Adam at all. He broke a promise to Judy. Did what he did with Tatiana, and he's got caught. And, you know, there's no smoke without fire, is there?
Well, no, this is true, unless you've got a smoke machine. okay, so we can lighten things up. Let's carry on and see where things are going. Interior Entertainment's office, day. Karen and Wayne are each at their desks, working intently. Karen has the phone to her ear and is having a heated conversation with someone.
Now, I understand that. Yeah, and that. Well, that as well, yes. Okay. No, I keep saying that, and I already told you. Hello, are you there? Oh, you're back. Right, well, have you got paperwork? Read me what it says. I think you do. There, you see. So what's the problem? But we have. Now you listen a minute. It says here that you requested 3 white cotton towels, no pattern, 50 cans of lager, 150 yellow M&Ms, 2 bottles of vodka, and a fruit basket without plums or bananas, but including passion fruit. I faxed you back a weeks ago. I told you they can't get passion fruit, but can swap it for a new melon. Do you remember that? You don't? Okay, well, I've got the original here. I'll fax it back to you. What do you mean? No, it's okay. I'll send it now. I think it's best I do. You get it sorted your end. So I still perform? Good then, yeah. Same timing. Okay. All right. Speak to you soon then. Bye then. Bye. Karen puts the phone down and starts placing the paperwork back into the file. That was painful. Oh, it's a nightmare dealing with them agents. They get all uppity over the smallest thing. Oh, if it was up to me, I'd just ban riders altogether. We don't have to get some stupid requests. Oh, I just hope he's good. I quite liked him in that soap. Wayne shakes his head and tuts. Might best be off. Got to make sure everything's in order at the venue. Did you need out while I'm gone? Might treat myself to a cheese and onion roll.
Nothing for me, cheers. Karen looks up in surprise at Wayne. For a moment, as she stands up and walks around the desk.
Don't think I haven't noticed either. You're starting to look a bit thin.
I'm just taking a bit more care of myself, Karen, that's all.
I'll pick you up ham and pickle. My treat.
Before Wayne can say anything, Karen leaves the office. Wayne continues working. As Mushy comes into view in the doorway, he catches Wayne's eye, and Wayne quickly waves him in.
All right, you want me, boss?
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask, how's that thing going with the supervisor you're having issues with?
Yeah, all sorted now.
Oh, good. What did you have to do?
I just mean, like, you know, it's all sorted.
All sorted like how? Like you're not seeing her anymore?
Well, yeah, we're kind of still, you know, seeing each other, but it's just like, you know, it's like sex, you know.
Oh, right, yeah. Who was it again?
I'm really not saying, Wayne, you know. She doesn't want me telling anyone.
Oh, come on, Mushy. You should tell me. I mean, we don't want it to impact your role here, do we? There's a silence between them. Wayne keeps looking directly at Mushy. Remind me, how did it all start with you two again? Were you on a night out or something?
Nah, nothing like that. She just grabbed me one night and we did it there and then. Couldn't quite believe it.
Really? So what, you were just walking around and this random woman just jumps you? You better not have been on duty.
Nah, of course not. I'd finished work.
So on a night out then?
Ah, it was just outside.
Just outside?
Yeah, by the bins.
Mushy laughs when he says this. The bins?
Well, why be in the big blue one?
No one could see or anything.
Bloody hell. When was this?
Blimey. A few months ago. Definitely. A few months back.
The revelation sinks in with Wayne. And you've been sleeping with her ever since?
Yeah, but like, you know, nothing serious or anything. She just calls me around, which feels like it.
At Kelly's chalet, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, she doesn't notice that Wayne has just used Kelly's name. Do you like her?
Not really, but you know, season will be over soon, won't it?
What is it about Kelly you don't like? Mushy pauses, a look of horror on his face.
Who said anything about Kelly?
Mushy, I'm not daft. I know it's her.
Shit. Wayne, come on, mate. Please don't say anything, will you?
Don't call me mate. But why don't you want me to say anything?
She's got dirt on me.
What kind of dirt?
Just like, you know, when I've been late and or made mistakes or something. She's got stuff on everyone.
What? How do you know this?
I've seen it.
Seen what?
Files and stuff in there.
Mushy points at the computer on Kelly's desk. He looks at it and then back at Mushy. Kelly has showed you files saved on this.
Yeah, she's been writing stuff all year in there. I saw loads of names, even yours.
Mine? What did this say?
Don't know. She didn't go into it.
You 100% sure about this?
When I said I didn't want to have sex anymore, she showed me it. It was all there. So I just had to carry on. I didn't want to get fired. Wait, am I going to get fired?
No, Mushy. Look, let's keep this chat between ourselves, yeah?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, thanks, boss. I'd appreciate that.
Right, go on then. You better get back to work.
Right, you are.
Well, she turns and leaves. Wayne stares at the computer monitor, a look of hurt and anger on his face. Exterior, caravan site, day. Hayley and Paula are walking between the caravans, making their way onto the resort. They're holding hands, and Hayley is gently rubbing her fingers on Paula's forearm. They appear very loved up.
So all I'm saying is, we could go into the city for the day if we can get the right shifts, do some sightseeing, get away from this place for a few hours.
Oh, it sounds amazing, but the bus takes ages. We barely have any time before we'd have to head back.
That's the beauty of it. No one's lent me a car. We can drive in and be back. Oh, God, it's so lovely.
Oh, go on then. How do you always have the answers? Just as they clear the last caravan before reaching the site entrance, they spot Robin striding towards them. Ladies, oh, look at you two. Who'd have known? I mean, Paula, we all knew, but Hayley, I must be losing my gaydar in my old age. The girls laugh.
We're just heading to grab some lunch, Robin. You want to join us?
As much as I would love to learn all about this, Robin points his finger at the girls and wiggles it playfully. Alas, duty calls. I'll catch you two later and you can tell me everything. Interior, Adam's caravan, day. Adam perches on the sofa. The curtains are drawn, plunging the room to almost darkness, belaying the bright daytime sunshine. He periodically peeks through the curtains before carefully folding them back in place again. A knock at the door makes him jump, and he moves further into the corner of the sofa, almost lying down so as not to be seen. A louder knock occurs this time, the force rattling the door, which echoes down the caravan corridors. Adam slides down even further, hiding behind the table that stands next to him on the sofa area. Adam! Adam, it's me! Are you in? Adam, upon hearing Robin's voice, lifts up his head. If you're in there, can you open up? I need to talk to you. Adam rises gingerly from the sofa and tiptoes down the corridor to the kitchen window. Peering out from behind the roller blind, he sees Robin by the steps. He tries to manoeuvre around to see if Robin is alone. Robin, sensing movement, turns directly to the window, just as Adam recoils. He's too late, however. I see you hiding there in the kitchen, Adam.
Who are you with?
Who am I with? No one.
Then what do you want?
I told you, I need to talk to you about something, but I'm not going to shout through a caravan wall. Stop being rude and open the door. Adam thinks for a second, takes a breath, stands up and walks to the door to open it. Robin looks at him with an alarmed expression. What's going on? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I didn't get much sleep last night. Just hurry up and come in.
Robin steps into the van. Adam immediately closes and hurriedly locks the door once again. Can I open the curtains? It's stifling in here.
No! No, leave the curtains closed.
Well, can I turn on some lights? I can't see a bloody thing.
No, look, I'd appreciate if you kept your voice down as well.
Why are you being so weird, Adam?
I'm not.
Is your roommate sleeping or something?
No, he's left.
Left? Like, gone?
Yeah. A few days ago, got a bar job in town.
So you're here alone now, yeah?
Yeah, for the time being. Though, to be honest, I feel sorry for the next poor sod they put in his room. It stinks really bad in there. I've opened a window, but it just seems to be ingrained.
Oh, it can't be that bad.
What is it you want, Robin? We've barely spoken all season.
Judy came to speak to me. She wants a favour from us.
Does she? Judy may well want nothing to do with me soon enough.
Robin stops and looks at Adam. Adam is visibly upset. He looks shaken and scared. What's going on, Adam? Or dare I ask? Adam looks down at the floor, tears starting to edge down his cheeks.
I've just messed up. Really, really bad this time.
Not sure how it could be any worse, but...
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, the way you've behaved, the selfish way you've been treating people. You've got the reputation as a user, and you might have noticed, but you're a bit light on the ground when it comes to friends.
Well, Dan is still a good mate.
He is, and he always bloody will be. Dan is loyal to a fault, and he's been a really good friend to you.
I know, he has.
But ask yourself this. How much of a good friend have you been to him?
But we're mates.
Do you even know what he's been dealing with? Do you know what he feels about stuff? Do you even realise you missed his birthday?
What? When was his birthday?
Look, I'm just trying to help you. What you do in this place forges a reputation with these people. It's impossible to change, no matter what you're going to do going forwards. We're in a bubble here. The outside world doesn't matter. 6 weeks here is the equivalent of a year out there. Guests, they come and go, most frequently looking to party hard and leave with fun memories, but no one they work or live with has had to see the other side of it if they don't want to. But us here, we're always on show, living under a microscope. Everyone knows everything, and people talk, and they gossip. Us humans are social creatures, but we're also really judgmental.
So what are you saying? You know, everyone hates me?
No, Adam. Hate's a strong word. Dislikes you, can't trust you, can't rely on you. It's close to the truth, but that was not the Adam I knew last year. Adam cries a little harder.
Sorry, I don't know what's happened to me. I really don't.
Adam's sobbing becomes a little more and more intense, as Robin can see its genuine remorse. Hey, Adam. You know, your true friends will be here for you, to help you.
You said it yourself. I don't have any friends. Not true ones.
Don't put words in my mouth. I said you haven't been a very good friend to others.
Well, apart from Dan, who are they?
Me, Adam. I am. And I've missed my friend terribly. Falling out of the boy band for crying out loud. I'll admit I too got a little caught up with that arse de Winters.
Yeah. You became a proper twerp.
They both smile at this. I'm sorry we wasted so much time this year. That I didn't think about how leaving the band would even affect you.
I'm sorry I was a dick to you. I should have apologised much sooner. I just became so angry and resentful. I just couldn't seem to pull out of it, you know?
I know. Well, look, we've said our sorries. We've got the rest of our lives to make up for it, okay? Right?
Right.
So stop that crying. You're starting to get bags under your eyes, and it's not very becoming. Adam laughs, causing a release of mucus from his nose. Robin looks horrified as they both laugh.
It's all your fault, you know.
What is?
You did tell me to go out there, play the field, open up my horizons.
I did. I never once told you to sleep with the entire resort and break everyone's hearts in the process.
Oh, that's harsh.
It's true. They both smile again at each other as Robin passes Adam some tissue.
Thanks.
So come on then, what's got you all bothered? Adam sighs a look of worry on his face.
It's Tatiana.
Don't tell me. You slept with her? Adam nods his head slowly and looks down at the floor. Well, I can't say I'm at all surprised. We saw that coming a mile off.
What?
Your reputation, pairing you two together, complete recipe for disaster. Still, doesn't make it okay though, does it? Look, let's just hope her dad doesn't find out. Then you really should worry. I've seen him lose his temper with the family. Oh, very scary man. Adam looks at Robin with a hint of agreement and fear. Oh God, he already knows, doesn't he?
He threatened me. It's really bad.
How? What did he say?
Pulled a knife on me.
Bloody hell. But he let you go, right? It didn't hurt you.
I'm okay. He just told me to stay away from her and then I wouldn't be so lucky next time.
So what are you going to do?
Stay away. Why do you think I'm holed up in here?
Robin thinks for a moment. But look, the way I see it, right? If he was going to do something, he would have already. He's been in the offices earlier today and he never once went to speak to Judy. I mean, I've been with her in rehearsals all day. My guess is he just wanted to scare you.
Well, it worked a charm then, didn't it?
Well, maybe it's just the reality check that you needed.
Maybe.
They both smile again, then lean in for a hug. After a few seconds, they separate.
Sorry, mate. What was it you wanted to talk about?
Fusion. A lot to digest there, Mike.
Why am I getting all the dramatic? Why am I having to do all the legwork here with accents and drama?
I don't know. You have to have a word with whoever wrote those scenes and see what they say. And then they can tell you.
It's always the case when it sounds much better in your head than it does in reality. When you actually say it out loud, you're like, okay.
So let's unpack. Wayne now knows about Mushy and Kelly.
With some great interrogation skills there coming through, that he drops Kelly's name in a few times. And
Mushy's not the sharpest tool in the box, is he? So, you know, he's missed that at first and it took him a little while. He's our Joey Tribbiani, I think. He's got that, like, it takes him that little bit longer to catch on than everyone else. Obviously, you know, a scary, scary man in Sergei, petrifying Adam, and Adam ending up in his hiding away in his caravan.
I think Adam was lucky to get out unscathed on that one, to be honest with you. But would you do the same? Would you hole away in a caravan? I mean, I'd be leaving all that know. Night. I'd be away.
You'd have packed your bags and gone, wouldn't you? It's, I mean, it's one of those weird ones where, I mean, I would never have got into that situation. I don't think I've always been a good boy. Haven't indulged in these kind of practices in the past. So, do not sully my good name, sir. but it is scary because there's the unknown commodity of somebody who's not necessarily been brought up in the same environment as you, and you don't know the history of these people. And Sergei is quite a menacing character anyway. And then when he's got a knife in his hand and you stick it in the table, he's flicking it around in his hand. You're in the moment. Adam's going to be terrified, isn't he? And obviously that's why he's holed up in his caravan and scared to bits. So
I don't think he's going to get that damage, deposit back again, the damage in that table, to be perfectly honest with you.
If I think back to the state of some of the caravans that we lived in, I think it would be the least you'd notice. You wouldn't even know that anything had been done.
You know, as a dad to a teenage girl, Steve, you know, project yourself forward. Would you react the same way as Sergei, as coming from a father point of view?
Now, there's a couple of factors. One being that Tatiana is of age. Let's just make that perfectly clear. She's old enough to engage in these practices, right? Whether it's whether I'd be happy about some philanderer with a well-known reputation for being a philanderer doing that with my daughter. Absolutely not.
I don't know. Not be clear what I'm asking here.
No, I know. I know. But
your reaction to a boyfriend or
that's what I was getting. Yeah. That's where I was getting to. So, whilst legally he's not done anything wrong, I think I would have a similar vein of I'm going to make sure if this lad is interested, he's doing it the right way. You know, given some techniques. I'd make sure that he respected my daughter, and just promise him that anything, and I mean anything he did to her, I would do to him, and you know, see how he fares on that. So,
well, speaking for dads across the world, there, Steve.
I think so.
So we're back into full flow of the story. You know, it's worth saying as well that, you know, these documents hidden in the PC, Kelly's documents that she threatened Mushy with, that's certainly something to unpack there, isn't it?
Well, it should be, if they can get a hold of that stuff. I mean, we don't know what Kelly's done with that stuff in the meantime, where she's keeping it. You know, it's difficult to get into, especially back in the day. We were a lot less computer savvy. You know, if you think back to the early to the millennium, not everybody had computers in the house. Not everybody had the internet. A lot of people didn't need to use it for stuff. We weren't necessarily taught it at school to a great degree. So it'd be interesting to see what they can do, whether or not will Wayne act on that information. I guess we'll just have to wait and find out.
We have thought for a future story.
Exactly. So, and that's number one of four of our finale episodes coming to you. So we hope you've all enjoyed it. We've had them all, being back talking to you all, and bringing to you some more of our original content. So we hope you've enjoyed it. Mike, do you have any final words of the day for us to take into the rest of the week?
Well, my final words, as I do on every episode, this one revolves around friendship, and more specifically around what we've just seen between Robin and Adam. You know, friends that you don't talk to very often will always be friends, and the truest of friends will always be there no matter the distance and no matter the time it takes for you to speak. Have a think about who those friends are to you, and maybe just say hello to one of them, because you'd be surprised what you get back.
Exactly. What a touching thing to say, Mike. And on that note, we'll say goodnight from us, and we'll see you next time, next week, on the Bad Scripts Podcast presents The Last Resort. Until then, from me and from Mike, goodbye.
Bad Scripts was written and performed by Mike Garlia and Steve Jones, a Beach Tide production.